Welcome back to the Amy Barn in Pittsfield, Vermont. Hey, Colonel Nye, do you know what time it is?
It's time for you to pay attention.
Time for the Spartan Up podcast. Okay. So awesome. I'm talking about great things with the one and only Joe DeSena, the one and only Johnny Waite, of course, the one and only Colonel Nye.
Dime a dozen Colonel Nye.
Myself, there's another girl named Sephron Telluride, and Marion, who we all love dearly. This is a great podcast, one I'm super excited to watch because this guy started something called the Kids Marathon, and the whole ethos for this is inspire and empower kids. So this is an 8 to 10 week program. I did some research
on it
before we watched it.
Don't tell too much.
Well, can I just explain about how they do the marathon?
Yeah. Only if you tell us the guy's name.
Rod Dixon.
We are in Vermont. We're checking out, what did they call it, leaf peeping or leaf keeping? With a P? We're leaf peeping, technically. This whole mountain and everything around here is going to turn yellow, red, like nothing you've ever seen before. Did I have
any pictures? I've seen the pictures.
They do that in New Zealand? Or
no, it stays green all year round.
Yeah. But the thing about New Zealand, let's walk and talk, is I felt like New Zealand was just like Vermont, except it's all grass on the mountainsides.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right? Actually, the mountains will have that. The tops, of course, where the snow.
Yeah.
And then down this, like this, because, you know, we got 60 million sheep keeping the grass.
Is it
down.
60 million? You got 60 million?
Yeah, 60 million.
Wow. How many sweaters does New Zealand sell? Is it all about sweaters?
Finest sweaters in the world.
Come out of New Zealand?
Merino.
Merino wool.
New Zealand merino wool from the mountains.
Wow, I didn't know that. So 60 million sheep, does that make about 60 million sweaters?
Oh, no, probably about 4 sweaters a sheep.
4 sweaters per sheep, wow. Yep. 240 million sweaters. That's a lot of sweaters.
You're working it out.
So, Rod Dixon, you were in the Olympics.
4 times.
4 times in the Olympics. Did you ever get a gold medal?
No.
Didn't work out.
Bronze medal.
Yep.
But I liked it so much, I had it. I won the gold medal, but I liked it so much, I had it bronzed.
No, really?
No. bronze medal.
Yeah.
That inspired me to continue on, of course, because you want to reach Everest, don't you? Mount Everest, and
so you went 4 times. So
4
basically,
times.
16 years of Olympics.
16
which
years,
which means 16 years of training like a madman.
Totally.
Right. 16 years of your life, yeah. And now you've
well,
got.
Well, actually, you know, Joe, when I won the New York City Marathon, I was asked by the media how long did it take me to train, and I said 30 years.
30 years.
30 years. I was 30 years, I was 33 when I won it.
Yeah.
And I said, I was born to run.
There you go.
And it started
when you were very young.
Running the
now
farm,
you got,
man.
Now you've got Rod Dixon's Kids Marathon Foundation. Yeah. So tell us about that.
It's inspiring young kids at an early age to enjoy and love running. It's a passion, because that's how I started, just running in the field.
How do you get them to enjoy and love it?
Be non-competitive. Don't tell them first, second, third.
Damn it.
Finishing is winning.
Really?
Winning is finishing.
I'm so against that.
But at a young age, you've got to let it happen.
What's young?
K-5. So
K through five, everybody gets...
Elementary school.
Everybody gets a trophy?
Everybody gets the same medal. It's a replica of my Olympic
You're killing
medal.
Me.
I know. But that's what it started. And I'm only doing this because that's how it happened to me. And when I went to high school, I clicked in, and all the good foundation.
All right, so you're saying there's a certain period of time where everybody can get a trophy, just so that so they don't
get them engaged.
They don't fall off.
Get them engaged,
and then we go to get to business.
We've got a giant pool of kids,
right.
And the cream's always going
right
to
rise to the top. All right, so I'll give you that a couple of years, maybe not K-5. I'll go K-3 or something. Maybe.
Well, you know how I mean that was my day.
Right,
Kids at 3 years old can open up and use iPads and everything else.
I know.
So it's
let's keep walking. We're going to go up to that. Let's
more
stay fit here.
Active, more aware. The great inspirers today are the parents and the teachers.
Well, that's the problem, right? If the parent isn't pushing it, then it's not happening.
Okay. So now, a lot of the schools that I'm working with are low decile, free and reduced lunch. We've got to get them active because those kids will activate their parents.
Right.
And if you've got kids who are inspiring their family members, and at Los Angeles every year we have the final mile for the kids, 5,000 kids, 17,000 family members, and a week later the LA Marathon said our numbers are up 30% this year because they're parents from those kids.
Wow.
And they sign in that they've never run a race before. So we know the kids are doing so. Kids did the seatbelt law.
Yeah.
The fastest seatbelt, Dad. Don't let a mum, or the other way around.
Sure.
So it's activating kids, getting them involved, just introducing them to the sport.
And it probably doesn't work as well with baseball or football,
no.
Right? Because if the kid's not good, everybody could run, right?
Everyone. We're born to run.
Born to run, yeah.
We're born to move. And kids know that. But some kids, I mean, when I was in school,
yeah.
If you misbehaved, you had to go and do laps.
I like that.
So what was I? I was always misbehaving.
Yeah, my kids do burpees when they're in trouble. I make them do burpees.
Hey guys, this is Joe DI with today's Spartan SGX fitness tip. Sleep is critically important, and what's interesting is that carbohydrates can actually increase melatonin production and help us sleep better. So in a world of so many people avoiding carbohydrates at night because they are energy for the body, if you're having trouble sleeping, consider adding some healthy ones in your final meal of the day. Aru.
All right, we're back with Rod Dixon. We had some camera difficulties. Apparently, our 30-person team couldn't handle the fact that we needed to replace the card. That's our 30-person team. Rod, it's a three-legged stool you just pointed out. Explain that.
Activity.
Yep.
Nutrition education. Healthy eating.
Yep.
You
got to educate them on nutrition.
Yep.
You got to give them clean food.
Yep.
And then they got to run around.
And they got to have activity.
And then you said it's better for kids to not have shoes on.
If you can run in the grass,
you got to do it.
Because it's connecting. It's connecting the feet. The right foot connects to the right side of the brain. The left foot connects to the left side of the brain. And when you're moving, you're exercising the brain as well as the body.
People forget that, right? People think, you know what, I'm so busy, I'm building a business, I don't have time, right? But their brain would work a lot better if their body was fitter.
Yeah.
Right.
And I find, you know, when I'm sitting in classrooms or gymnasiums with kids, every 5 minutes I get them up, we do a little bit of a jog, we do some exercises, 3 deep breaths and sit down again. I've got them for another 5 minutes.
But
you try and get them to sit there for 20 minutes.
Ain't having it.
That's squirming.
That's probably why kids squirm so much, right? That's logical.
And what do? We keep them in the classroom for 2 hours or more.
I like that. I think you're right.
Yeah. My thing was my teacher saw this in me. And he would dispatch me across the school with a note to give to Mr. Fry. But I knew from here to there was 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I could run right around the school. I didn't have to walk across. I could run around. I'd come back, and as soon as I came in the classroom, he says, Dixon, what's 2 and 2? And I say, 4, sir. He recalibrated me.
Right.
Because all my reports had fidgets, lacks concentration, looks out the window, disturbs others.
Right.
Today, I would be medicated, wouldn't I?
Oh,
ADD.
It's ridiculous. I agree. All you need was some exercise.
Yeah.
You're just trying to be human.
Send them out for a run.
Right?
And the great thing, when I was growing up, we had recess.
No, I had it too. It's crazy. Let's keep walking because I'm getting sunburned. It's important if we're going to do this interview that we walk and talk, right? That's apparently what Aristotle used to do it.
I heard
the other day.
Because the brain's...
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do with kids. Give them the activity to get higher test scores. We're already proving that.
By the way, this is green juice. This is not coffee.
Yeah, no, I see that.
This is green juice. So you're suggesting if a kid's in school, how many hours a day? 7, 8 hours?
Yeah, some kids are for 8 hours.
Right, so what do you think? Every 30 minutes they should go do something?
Yep.
Send them outside, do a loop.
Yeah, two or three minutes. That's
right.
It. Or some
full speed.
Yeah, but some schools will get them to stand beside that thing and run.
Right.
And do
something.
Just to get them moving.
And then back to work.
Yeah, because all you're doing is recalibrating.
Yeah.
Resetting the brain so that they can have a learning pattern. I know.
You know what'd be great is we get this video done, we get some of these videos done and send them out to educators. Maybe there's just like doctors that don't. Doctors used to recommend smoking. 7 out of 8 doctors recommend Marlboro cigarettes, right? So maybe there's a bunch of educators out there that just don't know.
Yeah. And they really don't know.
Right.
In fact, we get some parents who are asking us, why do our kids need to do PE? I go, really? You don't think we were born
to move?
Why
do we
think
we
stand up?
Because people would think, oh, that's just an athletic thing.
Yeah.
That's just a jock thing, right? That has nothing to do with learning.
Yeah.
I heard there was a study done where they took two schools. One school, they cut the phys ed and added more math. One school, they cut some math and added more phys ed. And the ones that had more phys ed and less math, they had better math results.
Exactly.
Right?
Do you know that I go to schools where when the budgets are cut, music, art, and PE are cut. For what? Math and science. And those schools, every time. When I go to a school, the first thing I go in and I look in the hallways, there's art all over the hallways. And I say to the principal, where's your music room? He says, down the hall. I go down there and they're all going crazy. And I look back and I say, kids' math is going to be perfect for your school.
Yeah, right, right. So you walk, so give us a quick thing. You walk into a school and you're trying to get what? What are you trying to get the school to say yes to?
I go to the principal.
Yeah.
And the principal gets it.
Yep.
Actually, he gets it. Most of them are getting it now. I actually went to the city of Waterbury, and the mayor took 3 minutes to say to his council, well, I understand what he's saying. Are we going to do it as a city?
Nice.
And so it's city by city.
City by city.
City by city. And the schools know that it fits in. Those two simple words, fit in.
Fits in. I love it.
And if it does, he's into it.
Right.
Yeah. New York Marathon, I think they put, New York Roadrunners put about $5 million into the New York School District.
Got it.
They're a lot better than a lot of others. My biggest challenge at the moment is Clark County School District, fourth largest school district in the country.
Yeah.
Nevada, unbelievable. Highest dropout rate, lowest graduation rates, highest obesity rates.
See, when you get a school like that, call me. I want to go there. I'd love to go there and just turn things around with you. Like, you can't come in unless you do 30 burpees.
Yeah.
30 burpees before each class. I'd love to do stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Kids used to walk to school.
Kids love a challenge.
Kids used to walk to school. By the way, his handshake is rock solid. That's what happens when you train 30 years to win the New York Marathon. Good stuff.
So, awesome guy. Love that he's in empowering, inspiring kids, especially in the arenas of health and nutrition. Education is great.
And he's been doing it for a long time.
He's been doing it for a long time.
He's been pushing this.
He's
65?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
He didn't look that at all.
Yeah. New Zealand is. It's like fresh air.
But four straight Olympics he competed in.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who's gone into incredible success, but instead of sitting back saying, look at me, incredible success, said, what can I do with this? Yeah. And the whole idea about the kids' marathon, where he's created a program where kids run a marathon. Now, we're talking very young kids, so they're not necessarily going out and running 26.2 miles all at
Joe's
once.
Even though Joe's boys do.
These are outliers.
I think it's
outliers.
Listen. I don't know if it's not healthy. I don't know the exact statistics in some third world countries, but I would imagine kids are running 6, 7, 8 miles in the morning to school
and then
returning home. So,
but I think this is a meet them where they are kind of prospect. Like, I think you're right.
Kids, I am not opposed to what he's doing. I agree.
Kids generally are capable, and you found that your kids are capable of running a marathon. I support that 100%. I think if you went to most parents and said, we're going to make your kid run a marathon tomorrow, they wouldn't buy into the program. So what we're doing, or what he's doing, I should say, is creating a bridge where these kids are coming out and putting in the distance, and then it gets them enthused about the whole marathon idea, and they will go on to run marathons. I don't know if they'll go to four straight Olympics.
Manageable bites, 3 miles.
Right. It goes right back to all the discussions we've had earlier on other podcasts. It's the bar is the marathon, but it's not set up here.
Yeah,
it's set where it can be achieved.
Yeah.
At 2, 3, 5 miles a day, whatever it is. You know, so
we had one great debate too off camera there that I want to get back to, where he said finishing is winning, and he also talked about every kid gets a medal.
He actually changed my mind on that because I'm obviously dead set against, as I think many of us here are, but he thought there was a time and a place where every kid should get a medal, and it's those early formative years. Mm-hmm. And I buy into that. I have children, and in the you just don't want the kid to get upset in those 2, 3, 4-year-old age brackets, right? Yep. That this isn't for me. I can't keep up.
Yeah. But you don't want 11-year-olds out there where every game's a tie and everyone gets a medal
and
things like that.
There game on occurs.
I mean, you want to give the right amount of encouragement.
It's
almost like a drug dealer. You know, you want to get them addicted.
Give them a taste.
But you want to get
an analogy for children.
You want to get them addicted to that lifestyle.
Yes,
you want to get them addicted to winning.
Yeah. You know who owned the biker bar.
You want to get them addicted to the competition.
Yeah.
Well,
you
know,
the finishing is winning. What are your thoughts on that? And I have a thought I want to share in a minute, but I want to hear what you think.
I mean, has to be like a loose definition of what that person or kid's definition of finishing is, you know? Mm-hmm. Their personal goal is a mile or to even get up and start it or whatever. I mean, I just think you have to be careful Again, it's meeting people where they're at. Finishing doesn't always mean running all 26.2 miles, running all three. And maybe I'm sure he seems to be super tuned into people's needs. So maybe, you know, it's a good tagline, but yeah. I don't know. How do you guys feel about it?
Well, go ahead. I want to hear you
say, how's it any different graduating high school?
Yeah. Well,
you know, I mean, you've made the bar. The bar is I got to cross that finish line. Yeah. To graduate, there's going to be the honor graduate. Yep. You know, there's going to be the valedictorian, and there's going to be kids that have just came across. You know, but they all graduated in the end, right? So that was the goal for most of them.
And I think that when you say finishing is winning, it's just there's a couple different definitions of winning. So there's the winner. There's the guy with the gold medal, or the gal with the gold medal is the winner. But the idea about you're all winners. They actually are all winners. They're not all the champion, and we don't want every kid to, so. But here's what I want to put in there, is I heard a great, and I cannot remember who it was. It was something I read, and it said 100% effort is 100% success. Huh. And the point with that is this: if you truly are putting in a 100% effort, no matter what your result is, it's a success. Because if you didn't finish that race, but you did put in 100% effort. There's nothing else you could have done.
Right.
Now, 99% of the time, somebody who doesn't finish is because they didn't put in 100% effort.
Right, sure.
But if you teach these kids, if that's my only problem with the idea about, and I agree, you shouldn't give everyone the same medal, things like that. But
Johnny from Canada.
But you know what? At Spartan Race, everyone gets a medal. Now, the medal doesn't say Spartan Race champion.
But you know what? I think we're missing is if it's a soccer game and both teams, winners and losers, get a medal.
Yeah.
That's where I kind of have
a problem.
Totally agree.
If it's 3 miles a day for 10 days, that's different.
Right.
But I think back to two guests in particular. One, name escapes me. You guys will bring it back to me. Triathlete, Ironman.
Chris Lee.
Crash before the finish. Yep. And the Ironman announcer said, Mike. To me, he was the champion. Like, to me,
you are not
the effort he put in there was unbelievable.
Mike Riley.
Right?
Yep.
And then the other one, Tyler Wren, a cyclist, who said, the race that I finished second, proudest race of my life, because I knew
I gave
it was
everything
the best
I could.
Race I've ever done. So I think that as a culture, we have to be careful, because if we basically say, you know, the Ricky Bobby, second place is just the first loser, not a healthy way to be, because then you can only ever have one successful person.
Couple of things. Cornell wrestling coach said to me, when they come in for the start of the season, throw the kids on the treadmill, full incline, fastest it'll go.
Yeah.
Kid's got to stay on the treadmill as long as he can.
Yeah.
Kid falls off. As soon as he puts the second guy on, the second guy goes 7 seconds longer. Before you know it, that first guy comes back, he goes 25 seconds.
Competition,
so competition
right?
is what drives. Listen, we've said it before on podcasts. You got to put that date in the sand, that stake in the sand, and say, this is what I'm going to do, whether it's a race or a wedding, right? And that makes us up our game.
Yep.
And so we're not going to up our game
if
everybody gets the medal.
Well, except that I agree. But without a number two, you can't have a number one. And if every kid who comes out and is told, I'm not saying they should get a medal, but if every kid is told, you're a loser because you didn't win and you need to win, you're not going to have that pool of kids pushing the superstars up.
I don't think that's the message.
No, it isn't, but we have to be careful, because there are some people to whom that is the
message. Message got to be about effort and hard work, because they've done studies on this that the kids that are told they're hard workers and the kids that are praised for hard work do enormously better than the kids that are told they're smart or great or whatever.
Yeah. So. And I think the kid who finishes number three in the country, we need to celebrate him as a champion. Not that he's number one.
There are bronze medals for him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, good point. Something.
Well, I just want to bring it back to the kid. Colonel, I do something?
I've got a lot of things, but go.
Well, here's what I want to say. First, I just want to bring it back to schools, okay? And first, second, third, whatever. You're lucky if these kids get recess, right? So, I mean, that's great that they're getting to run marathons. That this is an amazing program. But most kids, you know, and something that he says that Marion reminded me of is it's as important for kids to know about health and fitness as it is for their three R's, even though that's writing, reading, and arithmetic, which is a W and an A. So I don't even know where that comes from. But you know, there's eco-literacy, knowing about nature. There should be health literacy, and I think that should be on par with, you know, I mean, obviously history, all these things that you learn, reading, writing, they're all very important. But knowing your body and how to be healthy for these kiddos from the time that they're growing is of the utmost importance. So he's doing a great job, but I think a lot of work needs to be done in this country, because, I mean, kindergartners' recess are now getting taken away, and just the I'll use the word, I mean, that's just profane. I don't even know if that makes sense there, but I don't care. I mean, that's just bad. That's just plain old, I don't know. Colonel Nye, what were you going to say?
No, I don't know. But I would agree with you that physical education has to be part of the overall education. I mean, it's moved out of schools. I know even when my kids were in high school, you know, when younger kids, they've gotten rid of recess. Mm-hmm. And the kids need that exercise. They need, mm-hmm. we talked about resetting your brain, and he talked about every hour getting up and just moving around. You know, I think all of that's very important. I don't think kids are wired to sit for 6, 7, 8 hours in a day. I know I can't concentrate that long. Yeah. So I know I couldn't at 12 or 8 or 17. I mean, it's just too many other things going on out there. And physical education or just physical activities has to be part of curriculum.
Parents out there, do me a favor, do us a favor. Every morning, wake up with your kids, boy or girl, no matter what age, go run a mile or two with them before school. Get it done.
Do a bunch of burpees.
Or a bunch of burpees.
And tell us about it.
And I just want to quickly, because we started with Rod, I want to end with Rod. This is a great example of a guy using his own charisma, his own energy, and really doing something great in the world. And I was really, really moved by this podcast. So we've got a ton of other great guests like that. SpartanUpPodcast.com. Check them out.
Thank you for watching another epic story of success. If you like our message, please share Spartan Up with your friends and subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, or wherever you catch our show, maybe in the woods. Spartan Up is brought to you by Spartan Race. To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.